Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Senate Education Committee. It's March 12, 2015. It's 3:30. We have a quorum today. We have Senator Gardner, Senator Huggins, Senator Giesel. I expect Senator Stevens here momentarily, and myself, Senator Dunleavy. We have four items that we're going to hear today. HCR 2 is coming from the House, Alaska School Choice Week, and we'll have Representative Lynn Gaddis speak to that. Then we'll have SCR 1, Civics Education Task Force. This was introduced earlier. This is the second meeting on that, and that particular item, and Senator Gary Stevens will speak to that. SJR 2 is a constitutional amendment, GEO-BOS for student loans. Senator Anna McKinnon will speak to that. That was introduced in a previous meeting as well. And there's SB 64, school bond debt reimbursement. This is, again, going to be introduced for the first time by Senator Anna McKinnon. The first three items I'd like to hear today and move out. The last item, SB 64, we'll hear testimony today. We'll keep the public testimony open, and then we will set it up for another meeting next week. So with that, HCR 2, and this is Alaska School Choice Week. If Representative Gaddis could come forward, state her name for the record, and give us a succinct description of the resolution.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Representative Lynn Gaddis, and I represent the greater Wasilla area. This resolution is really about school choice. It's about a parent's right to choose when and where and how their child is educated. Designating January 24th through the 30th, 2016, as Alaska School Choice Week simply acknowledges that our education system is accountable to families. Alaska has many education opportunities through public neighborhood schools, public charter schools, public homeschools, optional public schools, independent homeschools, as well as private schools. School Choice Week is a national celebration recognized by millions of students, parents, educators, schools, and community leaders for the purpose of raising public awareness to the importance of effective education options. This truly comes down to a parent's right to choose how to educate their child. And I'm reluctant to say this is a relatively simple resolution because the other body doesn't recognize that. But with that said, Mr. Chair, that's what it is.
Thank you. And I want to recognize Senator Stevens is here with us as well. This resolution is substantially similar to the one that we moved out of, the Senate version that we moved out of committee. I think the only difference is on line 10, there's an addition of optional public schools coming over from the House. Mm-hmm. Are there questions for members of the committee? This is merely recognizing a week as a school choice week. Senator.
Thank you. You know, I read the Senate version very carefully, and no one who knows me will be surprised to know I was looking for any sign that it was a voucher bill, that it was supporting state money for private schools. And I was very much aware that the School Choice Week is a national movement, and I've looked at their website, and I know they are supporters of school vouchers, and that didn't trouble me as long as our bill didn't say that. But what I didn't realize is that when they use the phrase public charter schools, they're talking about voucher schools, because they're, you know, terminology matters, and in many parts of the country, charter schools are voucher schools. They're private with state dollars. And I just want to clarify if that is the intention here. Is this public charter school phraseology on page 10, is that an endorsement of vouchers?
Representative Gaddis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, Senator Gardner. We had a lot of that conversation on the floor in regards to this, and what we recognize when we say Alaska school choice, we're really talking about Alaska's choices, and we do not have private charter schools in Alaska.
Thank you very much.
It actually states public charter schools. Senator Huggins?
Mr. Chairman, it wouldn't take me very long to do an amendment to add in vouchers if we want to put it in there, so I just say that for what it's worth.
Senator Giesel?
No, sorry.
So, with that, is there a motion to move this item?
Mr. Chairman, move HCR 2 with individual comments as amended be moved from committee.
Hearing no objection, a House concurrent resolution 2 moves from committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note. We're going to take a brief at ease. Thank you. We're back in session. We're moving on to our second item. Our second item is SCR1, Civics Education Task Force. This was introduced by Senator Stevens prior to this meeting. This is the second hearing on this particular item. It's my intent to move this item out to the next committee of referral. With that, Senator Stevens, are you, it's going to be Tim that will be presenting. Tim, can you introduce yourself for the record, please, and begin your testimony?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens. Before you is a CS of SCR 1 version N. I thought I'd briefly go over the summary of changes with you. Should note for the record that this legislation was modeled after some legislation. I'm pretty sure it was from Illinois that was passed, and therefore that's the language that we initially crafted for our legislature here, knowing that there'd probably be some changes in the composition of task force. That's essentially what this CS does. The test, there's a net change of the membership of the task force to now have 12 members. On page 2, line 23 to 26, the task force now has 3 representatives and 3 senators, one each of which would be of the minority caucus representation. On page 3, line 1, the NEA member that is specified would be specifically a teacher with significant teaching experience in the area of civic education and social studies in general. Try to put some sidebars on it to specify who in particular we'd be interested in having serve.
And excuse me, I may have gotten ahead of myself. Is there a motion to move the blank committee substitute?
Yep. So moved.
So I'm going to object for discussion. Can we continue the discussion, please?
Thank you, Mr. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So then the next change on page 3, lines 4 to 6, we deleted the reference to a member of the media. Again, that was modeled after other states' legislation, and instead replaced that slot with that being of a student. Senator Stevens felt that it was important to have representation of a student body. We put some sidebars on that to make sure the student would, at that time, presumably be a junior, and then during the timeline of the work of the task force, that student would be a senior with an interest in leadership in civics ed, and then, of course, in good academic standing. We wouldn't want to jeopardize their schooling during the coming year. Fourthly, on page 3, lines 7 to 8, we deleted reference to a civics education-type nonprofit and replaced that with essentially a judge or someone representing the judiciary branch. And finally, we deleted representation of the superintendents because essentially we maintained representation by the school boards, who are technically the bosses of the superintendents. So we felt that that representation was still covered under that same umbrella. That concludes the changes of the CS, Mr. Chairman. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Questions for Mr. Lampkin from members of the committee? Senator Gardner?
Noticing that there's an even number of task force members, I'll assume they're going to work for consensus.
Mr. Chairman, through the chair, Senator Gardner, as was discussed with Senator Stevens, we felt that historically there is broad consensus with these task forces, and if we are operating under the process of parliamentary procedure, in the event of a tie, a motion would fail.
Okay. Additional questions for Mr. Lampkin? Seeing none, I'm going to open this up for public testimony. And online, I believe we have Mr. Stuart Thompson from Meadow Lakes. Are you online?
I am now, sir.
Thank you. And Mr. Thompson, if you could state your name for the record and begin your testimony. I think the last meeting we shorted, folks, but I think this meeting we can extend it with the concurrence of the committee here for a little longer length of time. So, Mr. Stuart, please introduce yourself once again and begin your testimony.
Sure. I salute the chairman and members of the Senate Education Committee. I am Stuart Thompson, an Alaska citizen living in Senator Huggins' district, acting on behalf of myself and posterity in support of Senator Stevens' SCR-1. I have carefully prepared three-minute testimony that succinctly supplements what I've already communicated. Start of my testimony. My previous testimony on record covered clear justification for launching a legislative task force on civics education and suggested amendments that would strengthen results from that task force. Some of these amendments apparently have already found favor with Senator Stevens. I'm happy to contribute. There are two matters I shall cover today. One is why, apparently, I come across as a mad dog before you. The other is arming you against intimidation from Alaska's apparent fiscal troubles in the pursuit of your duties under Article 7 of the Alaska Constitution. First, why do I seem to come across as a mad dog? There are two well-evidenced principles about all government that clarify matters. To save time, consider the simplest one. Currently, citizens are expected to just voice their concerns and mere opinions about bills, easily accomplished in 3 minutes. So who am I to try to take time to testify on relevant facts, law, history, and bill improvements as if I was one of those so-called experts who are allowed an hour or more for presentations? I testify the way I do because history teaches that multiple minds, organized even incrementally, do a better job of piecing together solutions than even a couple geniuses given the same task. If it wasn't for this, democracies and republics like ours wouldn't ever have reason to come into existence. We'd all be living under Plato's philosopher kings, as advised by councils of investigators. Second, if you think favorably of Senator Stevens' SCR-1, but are discouraged because of Alaska's financial troubles or fiscal troubles, take heart. I have 5 standalone solutions for financing SCR-1's task force and even its eventual recommendations, all arising from our political heritage. None depend on robbing Peter to pay Paul. Naturally, I don't have sufficient time to elaborate here now, and finance is not under this committee's jurisdiction. But since past legislatures have been weak in their fiduciary duties, thereby creating Alaska's current fiscal troubles, you senators should jointly urge finance to show some humility and consider some outside-of-the-box thinking. So all I ask of this committee, beyond passing this bill out, is for its members to contrive making the Finance Committee give me 9 minutes to present my ideas for financing SCR 1 and its inevitable task force recommendations. Senator Dunleavy, you might remind fellow Finance Committee members that the time-honored maxim for handling fiscal problems is creating additional income streams while concurrently cutting expenditures, and ask how they can deny my 9 minutes on that basis. Consequently, if they balk or get egotistical, Senator Huggins can legitimately execute a maneuver as Rules Committee Chairman. He can threaten to bring this bill and my fiscal testimony to a committee of the whole due to Finance Committee negligence. As usually, I am faxing this testimony to the committee, and as a courtesy, I'll fax the prepared testimony I want to give to the Finance Committee as well. It doesn't matter which of my solutions to financing SCR 1 gets utilized. They all achieve the same result. But what is criminal, and I repeat, criminal, is rejecting any and all solutions to a problem that I have drastically proven is inherently solvable. Good luck on your deliberations.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Are there any questions for Mr. Stuart Thompson from members of the committee? We look forward to your prepared testimony. Thank you. We're still open for public testimony. Is there anyone in the audience? And it looks like Dr. Lisa Parry, would you like to come forward, please? State your name for the record, who you represent, and begin your testimony, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Lisa Skiles Parody. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Council of School Administrators, representing all superintendents, principals, and school business officials, as well as the Executive Director of the Alaska Superintendents Association. And my testimony is really more of a comment in that there was a decision made to delete superintendents as a member of the task force, and we would ask that you include a member of the superintendent as a member of the task force, because the comment was made that it's the same vote, if you will, and in fact, I'm sure AASB would be the first to say that school board members are policy and governance, and superintendents are implementation and every decision made, you know, within the school district with regard to curriculum. And so I advise that if you really want to accomplish the tasks that are outlined in the bill, that not having a superintendent voice is maybe not having the voice closest to the decisions you're trying to make. And so I'd encourage you just to add that voice back to the table in conjunction with the school board member, and appreciate the time to give my testimony. Thanks so much. Thank you.
Any questions for Ms. Lisa Parody, Dr. Parody? Seeing none, thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience that wishes to testify on this item? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. I will remove my objection. Are there any amendments to the item before us? Senator Stevens.
Sure, if I just comment on the comments we've received very briefly. I really appreciate Stuart Thompson's comments, and we've incorporated several of his thoughts into them. I want to thank him for his attention and wanting to follow this issue and his support for civics education. Certainly we understand the problem the state is facing right now in costs and budgets and trying to reduce costs. So our goal has been to make this as economical as possible, and then hopefully the solutions we come up with would lead to some real outside-the-box thinking to help fund this sort of thing and not really lay it on the school districts to have to fund say, classes. So it will go on to finance, and we'll see what happens there. I just want to say we did not want the fiscal note to kill the bill. It needs to move ahead. I think it needs to be studied. I think there are things we can do to improve the situation, but we certainly have to recognize those fiscal issues. Dr. Parody's comments, I appreciate her thoughts as well. And I guess just to comment on that, we have not included the Commissioner of Education, and of course they will play that also play a very important role, and I also expect the administrators will play a role as well. I know you did not mention the commissioner, but no, the commissioner is not in there. Oh, I'm sorry. The DED commissioner is in there. So the point I'm trying to make is that we would. I'm sure the committee, the task force, would appreciate your involvement and being there and having your say and making sure that you're heard. But we have to limit this at some point. I wouldn't mind if someone wants to make a change to that, but I think it's a pretty good group. I hate to see it get much larger because then we are have some problems with the fiscal matters. But 12 seems to be about right. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from members of the committee? Senator Huggins.
Just ask for clarification of the status of the fiscal note at this time.
I believe we're going to be moving it on. Well, do you want to speak to that?
I can, if you like.
Go ahead, Tim.
Through the chair, for the record, Tim Lampkin, staff, Senator Stevens. It's my understanding we have an existing fiscal note for the original version in a dialogue with the accounting at LAA. It really depends on where this extra person would be appointed from. Again, it's the intent of the sponsor to have the bulk of these people residing in or near the Anchorage Bowl area. And so it was an estimate that if, say, that person happens to be from Mat-Su, that they would be entitled to transportation per diem, which would be approximately $250 in that particular instance. But not a significant change to the fiscal note that would be following this forthcomingly.
So we had a preliminary discussion that we want to move the item out. But if we did so without a fiscal note, we can have a discussion on the fiscal note up in finance, I believe was what, yes. So let's take just a brief of these. So we move it with the fiscal. Back in session. So the idea is that we will move the item out with a fiscal note, and that fiscal note would be an object of discussion in finance, knowing that there's a possibility that that fiscal note may be removed, and look at other ways of funding the task force. Does that answer your question, Senator?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I have a motion.
Please.
I move that CS for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 1 /November be moved from committee with attached fiscal note.
Yep. Hearing no objection, committee substitute for Senate concurrent resolution. EDC is moved from committee with individual recommendations with the fiscal note forthcoming. We're going to take a brief at ease. Thank you. We're back in session. We now move to the next item, item 3, and it's Senate Joint Resolution 2. It's a constitutional amendment, GO bonds for student loans. We heard the joint resolution for the first time on February 24th. We had public testimony. Public testimony has been kept open. There's a zero fiscal note.
Senator McKinnon is prime sponsor. Kristen Pratt, staff, will also be joining her. The committee has received responses to questions posed at the last meeting. Diane Behrens, Executive Director, Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education, is online. Ms. Behrens, are you online? Just checking. Ms. Behrens, are you online?
Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, okay. We're just making sure you're online. With that, Senator McKinnon, could you please introduce yourself for the record again and just give a brief overview, and if there's any anything, any changes or any other items related to this issue that you wish to bring up.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate Education Committee, I'm Senator Anna McKinnon, representing Eagle River and the bases. Senate Joint Resolution 2 is our way of trying to reduce student loan debt for those that currently have debt in the state of Alaska and those that may have debt in Alaska's future. Specifically, Mr. Chairman, Article 9, Section 8 of the Constitution of the State of Alaska currently says that the state can only use the full faith and credit of the state of Alaska for capital improvements or for housing loans for veterans. This would amend that to allow post-secondary education to offer loans to students, thereby creating a lower loan rate for students, and our hope is to reduce student debt. With me this afternoon is Kristen Pratt, and we're available for questions.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the committee? We're going to turn to public testimony. Do we have Robert Dotson online from Cordova?
Yes.
Robert Dotson, please state your name for the record and begin your testimony on this item.
My name is Robert Dotson, and I live in Cordova. And if it's all right with the chairman, I would like to have just a moment to speak to Senator Stevens.
Is it related to the item at hand?
No, it's a thank you.
Okay, we'll indulge you momentarily for that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to express my thanks to Senator Stevens for his father's help with getting veterans' rural health care for all veterans here in Alaska. That's it. Thank you. Now on student loans. As you all know, that the student loan debt today is $1.2 trillion. I am a grandfather, 80 years of age, and I am financing three people through school, my two grandsons and my son-in-law. I have no objections to the amount of money these people owe back to the state of Alaska to receive their education. The only problem I have is with the interest rate that you are charging. I just got a letter from the state of Alaska stating that my grandson now owes his loan plus the interest rate of 7.2%. But banks are not paying but about 0.5% on a savings account or 2% on a certificate of deposit. I think this interest rate is extremely outrageous and should be dropped down to about 3% for all parties involved. That is my statement. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dotson. Is anyone in the audience that wishes to testify on this item? I have no one signed up. Senator McKinnon, do you want to make an additional comment? This is moving forward without a fiscal note, correct? And this would be a resolution that, if passed by both bodies, goes to the public for a vote.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. In addition to that, before any bond would be issued would be the following 2 years. So the voters would again have an opportunity to see if they actually at that time wanted to go into to take on that debt.
Thank you. Questions for members of the committee? Senator.
Thank you. Can you just clarify the impact on Fairbanks? We have a letter from the mayor talking about...
This is the next item.
You wish to continue?
Ahead of myself. Nope. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We're going to close public testimony at this point.
Are there any amendments? Seeing none, what is the will of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I move that Senate Joint Resolution Number 2 /whiskey with zero fiscal note be moved from committee.
Hearing no objection, Senate Joint Resolution 2 is moved from committee with a zero fiscal note with individual recommendations. We're going to take a brief at ease and move on to the next item. We're back in session. We're on to our fourth and last item for the day, and this is Senate Bill 64, titled School Bond Debt Reimbursement. This is the first hearing of the bill, and it's relating to, as it says, school bond debt reimbursement. It's been introduced by Senator McKinnon, being the prime sponsor. Senator McKinnon and a staff, Laura Pierre, are here today. If you folks would like to introduce your names for the record again and begin your testimony, that would be great.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate Education Committee. My name is Senator Anna Fairclough. McKinnon. There we go. I got married. Let's put it on the record. The second time this session I've done that. I apologize. Especially to my beloved husband who might be watching. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, to my right is Laura Pierre, my Chief of Staff. Today before you is Senate Bill 64. Mr. Chairman, as you know, members of the public, Alaska is facing a $3.5 billion revenue shortfall in this year and projected into next year. One thing that we can do to protect Alaska is take care of our fiscal house as quickly as possible. The current bill before you proposes to sunset current state aid regarding reimbursement for major maintenance and school construction. This is a measure that is outside of our control in anticipating our future debt to credit ratio needs. I understand that it's a valuable tool for communities that can provide bond indebtedness. This does not prevent for schools from going forward and providing that indebtedness. When I originally went to our legislative legal to draft this bill, I wanted an effective date of January 1st, 2015. That date that I asked for was, at least on the surface, rejected as an appropriate move. It is a policy consideration for you today. It takes into account that people typically go to bond markets in the April and October period and sell bonds, and a municipality may be in the process getting ready to go to those markets to sell bonds. Again, Mr. Chairman, I believe January 1st, 2015 is the right date. I think the people of Alaska will understand that the state is not in a position to go forward with reimbursing at a higher level. This does not eliminate the program, but sunsets it for 5 years. That's an arbitrary number selected so that, one, we can look at our fiscal house and look at our revenue streams as they go forward, and, two, work with communities that might have debt to talk about that debt, how we might manage that debt differently as we go forward. Mr. Chairman, those are my remarks.
Thank you. Questions from members of the committee at this point? Senator Gardner?
Thank you. Did I correctly hear you say after January 1st, 2015?
Correct.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Yes.
Through the chair, Senator Gardner, there was concern expressed at Legislative Legal that that would be retroactivity and that people like the City of Anchorage may have a bond proposition before them that they have already told voters that they could expect a reimbursement from the state of Alaska. Mr. Chairman, if there is a desire, my chief of staff can walk through a sectional analysis as to what each section does. It's fairly complicated in that over the years we have had different effective dates for different programs, and so while it does something very simple, it is quite a bit of conversation to get to where we are today.
Seeing that this is the first introduction and it is a major item, why don't we do that? Why don't we have your staff walk through, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Laura Pierre, staff to Senator McKinnon. And just quickly before I walk through the sectional, just to follow up on Senator Gardner's question that she was just asking, in state statute, they lay out each years that the bonds are issued for. So, for instance, the most recent is October 1st, 2006, but before May 1st, 2015. So that's what Senator McKinnon was speaking to. When our Ledge Legal suggested a May 1st start, it wouldn't affect what's currently written in statute. Whereas, like she said, if we went back to January 1st, it could potentially be retroactive on bonds that may be issued between January and May 1st of this year.
Thank you.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Section 1, this is the sunset provision in the bill that would sunset it for 5 years. It would come back into effect July 1st, 2020, if the legislature chose not to take it up before then. Section 2, it starts on page 6, line 21. This restricts the reimbursement of bonds authorized after May 1st of 2015. That's just in line with the sunset provision. And then also on page 7, lines 1 through 11, it deletes language relating to bonds authorized after May 1st, 2015. And this language specifically was inserted last year in HB 278, the education package. And that was, at that time it was discussed, this same idea was discussed of reducing the reimbursement rate. And so under that section, reduces the reimbursement rate to 50%, but this bill would delete that language because the program wouldn't be in existence. Section 3, which it starts on page 12, line 17, through page 13, line 2, this is something I don't believe Senator McKinnon touched on in her opening comments. One other thing that this legislation would do, when the sunset provision comes back up, when this program is reinstated, if it's reinstated, currently the state reimburses 70% for projects that are considered standard and 60% for projects that are considered non-standard, like if a school would want additional square footage, maybe that would be outside a typical building. These provisions would be reduced to by 20% each, so 50% and 40% respectively. Section 4, this just restricts the commissioner from approving any application for bond debt during that 5-year sunset. Section 5 also restricts the commissioner from approving bond debt, and this is the both sections just touch on the 70 and 60% reimbursements. Section 6, this would repeal Section 1, 4, and 5 of this bill. which is the sunset provision, so this is reinstating the program on July 1st, 2020. Section 7 is the retroactivity clause, and this is for supplies to Sections 1, 2, 4, and 5. Section 8 states that Section 3 of the Act takes effect July 1, 2020, when that's reducing the reimbursement rates. And then Section 9, the final section, is the immediate effective date. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions for Ms. Pierre from members of the committee? Senator Stevens.
Mr. Chairman, I just am a little confused, and I just like clarification. So, if I understand the way this is written, if the voters of Anchorage on April 7th of this year decide to approve a bond package, they will be funded at 70-30, but no other districts will have that opportunity because they're voting at a later date.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, that is correct.
Thank you.
You know, additional questions from members of the committee? We're going to open this up for public testimony. We do have, I believe, two folks that are here to answer questions. If we need to, that would be Elizabeth Needleman with the Department of Education. And I believe Mike Abbott with the Anchorage School District is available for questions. We do have one individual that would like to testify, and that would be Joe Hardenbrook from Fairbanks, North Star Borough.
Yes, sir. This is Joe Hardenbrook from the borough, just available for questions regarding Mayor Hopkins' letter.
I apologize. I got the testifier and the question and answer backwards. So, Mike Abbott with Anchorage School District, are you there? Mr. Abbott, are you online?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm at the Legislative Information Office in Anchorage.
Okay, Mr. Abbott, can you please identify yourself for the record, who you're with, and you can begin your testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Mike. I'm the Chief Operating Officer for the Anchorage School District. The Anchorage District has not taken a formal position on SB 64, but we do have concerns, and we appreciate the opportunity to describe those for you this afternoon. Anchorage relies on general obligation debt for virtually all of our capital project requirements. Typically, over the last 10 years, in excess of 90%, with smaller contributions from legislative grants, federal sources, and our operating budget. Anchorage's experience is to, over the last 30 or 40 years, is to propose annual school bonds for voter authorization and to fund our capital program in that way. We have not taken advantage of bonding programs that would fund multi-year capital programs. We've been doing it on an annual basis for a number of years. And although they're not always successful, the voters, as expressed through the Assembly and the school board, tend to appreciate that approach. So it's our hope that we'd continue in that way, and our six-year capital improvement program anticipates that going forward. For the last 4 years, our approach has been, and we hope for a fifth year in a few weeks, we hope to authorize bonds in an amount that is less than the amount of debt that's being retired by the Anchorage School District annually. So we are trying to be frugal, both for the benefit of our taxpayers as well as for the state as a partner in the debt reimbursement process, and not grow our debt. In fact, our annual debt service has diminished dramatically over the last 10 years, in part because we've reduced our amount of indebtedness, and in part because interest rates recently have been quite favorable. And so new bonds that have been authorized have been sold at lower rates than might be the historic trend, and we've been able to refinance older debt at lower rates. So at least for Anchorage, and I imagine for most districts as well, the amount of debt reimbursement that's been required has dropped as we've been able to take advantage of favorable capital markets. In addition, Anchorage does not typically take advantage of or has not been successful in the upstate school construction contribution programs. Other than legislative grants, we have not had significant success through the deed capital grant process. And we understand that's the case, and we would not anticipate that our projects would score well relative to other state other projects around the state. And so we would not expect that that process, even if it were aggressively or robustly funded, would help Anchorage meet its capital project requirements in the foreseeable future. So as a result of that, we've come to rely on general obligation debt with the state partnership through debt reimbursement. It's worked well for Anchorage. We believe our taxpayers appreciate it, and we're uncertain as to our ability to meet our capital project requirements going forward without the debt reimbursement program being in place. We understand that we would not be prohibited from authorizing new debt going forward, but debt reimbursement has been part of the equation for so long, even during other times of fiscal stress for the state of Alaska, that it's challenging for us to contemplate a future without that, at least in the near term. So, Mr. Chairman, that concludes our prepared remarks this afternoon. I'm available to answer any questions now and look forward to working with the committee as you consider this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Abbott. Are there any questions from members of the committee for Mr. Abbott? Senator Huggins.
Mr. Abbott, Charlie Huggins here from Meadow Lakes, neighbor of Wasilla. You know, we've had a tremendous explosion of new students in comparison to some of the other areas of the state, and, you know, I've had some demands for construction. What's the trend in the Fairbanks community, or correction, in the Anchorage community?
Enrollment-wise, Senator?
Please.
Our in the six-year CIP, Capital Improvement Program, that I mentioned, we're anticipating slight growth over the 6 years. For next year, we're anticipating about a 200 student decline in overall student population. We, based on birth data and other demographic information, we expect to grow by about 1,000 students over the 6 years.
Senator.
Yeah, thank you. But could you just give me a retrospective look of what you've seen over the last 5 or 6 years?
Over about the last 5 years, the district has declined in enrollment by about 3%. I can certainly generate, Ms. Noodleman, who I believe is with you as well, might have numbers even in front of her. We've gone from a high of a little over 49,000 to a current student population of a little over 47,000.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I certainly have no intention of picking on Anchorage, but this is an unusual wording that we're looking at here because you may be the last school district to benefit from the 70-30 bond reimbursement. So could you be a little more specific and tell us what is on the ballot on April 7th? What are you attempting to bond, and what is that dollar amount, and how does it split up between the 70-30 division?
Absolutely. Mr. Chairman, Senator Stevens, the proposed, there's a single bond proposal in front of the voters. It's Proposition 1 on the Anchorage ballot in about 4 weeks. It's a little over $59 million. It's a blend. Approximately two-thirds of the bond is currently expected to be reimbursed at a 60% rate, and one-third at a 70% rate, for a blended reimbursement rate of around 64%. The of the $59 million, $56 million is associated with four elementary school renewal projects. These are all existing structures that would be renewed in their current configuration and current size. Three of the four, and I can list them. It's Rabbit Creek Elementary, Turnigan Elementary, Gladys Wood Elementary, and Mountain View Elementary. They range in individual project cost between those four elementary schools between $12 million and $19 million. The scope of work associated with each of those four elementary schools is, there's a little bit of difference, but it's roughly similar. As I said, we're not expanding the anticipated student population of those. We're merely renewing buildings that are between 40 and 60 years old, buildings that have not had substantial capital investment in recent years. So we're trying, in this bond, we're focusing on renewing existing space. In fact, in the whole six-year CIP that I mentioned, there's no new school construction anticipated. It's all building renewal, building life extension, building system replacement type projects. Is that the sort of information the committee is looking for?
Yes. Thank you very much, Mr. Abbott. Other questions from senators and on the committee? Question. Obviously, this action is being taken, and Senator, so let's say Senator Faircloth, Senator McKinnon, being the co-chair of finance in charge of capital, I think as astutely as looked at this and is looking at other areas as well to try and deal with this unprecedented free fall in revenue in the oil price and the resulting revenue that we get from it. And I think the idea behind this move is not to eliminate this in totality, but give us a little breathing space to replenish, hopefully, our coffers and not spend money over the next couple of years to be able to do that. This is a major item. This is one of the reasons why we're going to hold it over, because I'm anticipating other school districts and other folks to weigh in and give their thoughts, which I think we need. But I do want to thank the senator for taking a look at this and bringing this forward for us to consider. If this were to leave the Education Committee, would go on to Finance, where I think it's going to have even a larger discussion, but it is a major item. Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I might close, there are four major cost drivers in Alaska's budget, K-12, Health and Human Services, predominantly Medicaid growth, and a payment to the PERS and TERS bond in debt service, as well as school debt reimbursement. School debt reimbursement since 1972, or FY 1972, has paid out to communities who can bond over $3 billion. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the legislature has had no control except to step up and pay on this particular issue. Currently, those annual payments are just less than $120 million annually. I understand and support my community. I absolutely support what the Anchorage School District is doing, but I do think that it is time to put both hands on the steering wheel, tap the brakes, and take your foot off the accelerator. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I am certain that every school district, if we don't take action with the effective date that's before you, or retro that, at least, or try to retro it back to January 1st, the state may see large bond packages coming up in the fall elections, and again, obligations that this state cannot afford to undertake in annual payments at this time. So I appreciate your consideration. Just wanted you to know that we've extended over $3 billion of support through past legislatures, and that I absolutely support my schools. This is totally about fiscal restraint and trying to make sure that we know what is going to be asked of us in the coming years. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I have a question for Mr. Abbott. Are you still online? Mr. Abbott, are you still there?
Yes, Senator.
Question I have is the 60% approach to bonding, was there a reason why ASD decided not to follow the DED guidelines?
Yes. For three of the elementary school projects that I mentioned, DEED has made a preliminary determination that they're eligible for 60%. In those three cases, the district is adding a small amount of square footage to the overall footprint of the facility. In all three cases, the concern is that we're trying to improve the security of the front entrances of the buildings by creating what continues to be a welcoming entrance to the building, but is one that can be secured in the event of a threat to the school. Very few of our buildings are currently configured for that purpose right now. It's less expensive to meet that requirement by adding a few square feet to the footprint of the building. In the case of Rabbit Creek Elementary, our proposal is to add 800 square feet for the purpose of creating that safe building entrance. It's significantly less expensive to add 800 square feet for that purpose rather than to remodel a 62-year-old structure to gain that functionality. It's the challenging part is that we could convert the project and make it eligible for 70% reimbursement, but the overall project would be more expensive, and the state contribution therefore would be significantly higher. But as it's currently designed, according to deed, it's only eligible for 60%. At this point, we're challenging our design team to reconsider that design and consider reducing the square footage or eliminating the new square footage so that we'd again be eligible for 70%, although it would increase the total project cost.
Thank you.
I believe that's the only reason that those three projects were deemed 60% rather than 70%.
Thank you, Mr. Abbott. Questions from members of the committee? Comments from members of the committee? We're holding this over. This is a big item. We do have Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thanks. Just a comment. My assumption, either in this committee or subsequently, there will be a move to do a retroactive effective date. And so I just say that for what it's worth for anybody that's listening. And I guess next time I would ask Mr. Abbott what that does to the bond proposition.
So, Mr. Abbott, if you're still online, you can think that through, that there's a very good possibility there'll be at least one, if not more, amendments proposed to modify dates and maybe other aspects of the bill.
We can comment on that today if you'd like.
Sure. Go ahead.
The ballot language that is authorized by the Assembly and set for the ballot describes school debt reimbursement as it's currently in statute. And it does, like I believe all through the state, the ballot informs voters that debt reimbursement is not guaranteed and is subject to annual appropriation. So it's clear that the voters are ultimately on the hook for the entire amount of the indebtedness and the entire amount of annual debt service. If the state chooses to make a fund debt reimbursement, then that would offset the property taxpayer contributions. But the statute that's in place now and is the one that our ballot language was based on does describe 70 or 60% reimbursement, depending on the project, for the ballot measure that is before Anchorage voters in 28 days, I think.
Thank you, Mr. Abbott. Questions for Mr. Abbott? Not at this point. Questions from the committee to the folks presenting and the senator presenting? And, again, we're going to take this up again in our next meeting, which is going to be Tuesday, March 17th. We'll have more discussion on it. I'm anticipating more information coming in. Again, it's a big item. We have an interesting
phenomena that's occurred in Alaska over the last several years. For the most part, our populations are declining. There's at least one school district, and there may be others that I'm not familiar with, at least one school district where the population keeps increasing. But the general trend in Alaska is for student populations to decline. This is not a making of the senator's, this is not something that she's created. This is as a result, this bill coming forward is a result of, again, an unprecedented free fall in oil prices, which has impacted us dramatically, and I think it's a I think it's a prudent move. It's certainly worthy of discussion. I'm glad it's been brought forward. But I think you're going to see a lot more of these discussions, too, across the board on our finances. Yes, Senator?
Mr. Chairman, I just would like to point out, too, it's a Senate Finance Committee bill. I'm carrying the bill, but it has been introduced if the public is trying to find it. So it's SB 64, and it's a Senate Finance Committee bill.
Thank you. So we'll be hearing it again next week. Any closing comments from members of the committee? With that, we're going to adjourn, and thank you very much.